The book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, if you will. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 1, and it's just always good, I think, to be in the house of God. Just good to be here. By the way, I'll give you a little heads up. On September the 17th, we're having Roundup Sunday. And on that Sunday, we're going to have the Bible Tone Quartet with us, and they'll be doing some special singing. And Brother Charles will be driving. He's not going to get in. Maybe you can stretch your ankle injury that far. Okay. He's going to try. All right. Okay. Acts chapter 1, if you will, this morning. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. I'm going to read the rest all the way through the end of the chapter. So if you'll just focus on that, don't worry about anything else. And I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight. Okay. Back to the service tonight, 6 o'clock, we're having service, and I invite you to back to be with us. You say, well, preacher, air conditioners, it'll be hotter. Hey, man, it'll help some of you that are not old enough to remember what it was like to go to church when there was no air conditioning at all, okay? Now, some of you remember it, okay? You do remember it. And I mean, what we're going to do, you said, what are you going to do, preacher? We're going to bring some fans in. And we're going to have them blowing and everything, and we'll just enjoy being there. If nothing else, it can remind you of going to youth camp and sitting in chapel where it's hot and the preaching, you know, and you couldn't get in front of the fan and to sit, and so you just had to be there and enjoy it in the heat. Hey, but you know, isn't it amazing how soft we get? You know, we just get soft so quick, you know. And so I hope you don't let that keep you from coming. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Now, in case you don't recognize that, that's 11 of the disciples, all right? And then all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the saints with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together about 120, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Jesus, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, in theological circles, all right, and I don't know if you are in theological circles, but in theological circles, there's great disagreement over when the church started, when it actually began. There's multitudes of people that believe and teach that it had its beginning on the day of Pentecost, which is in Acts chapter 2. Now, in all honesty, I don't see why there's disagreement and controversy, all right? Because the first mention of the church is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And that's where the Lord said, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Our Lord, when he was on this earth, said, "I will build my church." All right? And then in Matthew chapter 18, just two chapters along after that, we find this verse. And he says, "If he should neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." As I say, I don't understand the problem of when the church started. Matthew 16, 18, the Lord said, "I'll build it." Matthew 18, 17, the Lord said, "You tell if there's disagreements and you've got arguments," he said, "you tell it to the church." Why would the Lord say, "Tell it to something that didn't exist"? Why would he say that, all right? And if the church didn't start until Acts chapter 2, how come Acts chapter 2 says they were saved and it was added to the church? You can't add to something that's not already there, all right? If I were to reach in my pocket and pull out a $100 bill and call Nick up here and say, "Nick, here you go, you can add this to your bank account." You have a bank account, Nick? You do? Bummer, I picked the wrong person. That was a bad mistake, all right? Bad mistake. You can't add it, and he could because he's got a bank account, all right? But if he didn't have it, you can't add to what you don't have. Are you with me? You just can't add to what you don't have. So I believe the church started with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it started with those 12 apostles and Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of it. And in our text here in Acts chapter 1, the church is gathered together, and they've got a business meeting they're going to hold, all right? And this was a church that knew how to get things done. And they knew how to make church work. You with me? They knew how to make church work. It was successful. And we could learn from them, and because I want to preach to you this morning on the church that will work, all right? I want our church to work. Now you say, "Well, how does it happen?" Look in verse 13. Verse 13, here's where it starts. "And when they were come in," hey, they came. They came. No church will work if it don't come. It just cannot happen. They have to meet. They have to get together. They have to follow the biblical admonition that says that we're to gather ourselves together, and we're to do that on a regular basis, all right? And we're there. So if the church doesn't meet, if they don't gather together, can't get anything done. The hardest thing in the world to do is to get everybody in the church together at once. It's hard to do. Somebody asked me this week, I was asked, "How many people are members of the church?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Why?" Because I hadn't sat down to go down exactly how many members are actually got their name on the roll. But there's more that are members than show up. Amen. And some of you that are members, you don't show up the way you should, all right? You're kind of spasmodic in showing up. Occasionally, you present yourself, and occasionally you're here. You know, I've always warned you, you got to be here, because if you don't, somebody's liable to take your pew, all right? So you've got to make sure. Now, don't you leave a sign on it when you leave today, all right? Just so somebody won't. But, hey, you have to come, all right? They have to meet, and they did that. They gathered together. What did they gather together for? They gathered together to be fed. To be fed. I'm not talking about fed physically. I'm talking about be fed on the Word of God. They gather together. You're here to be fed. You're here hoping to hear something from the Word of God. When I go to church, I want to hear from God. I want the Lord to speak to me. And so we gather together for that feeding. We come in Sunday school hour. Why? To learn, to be fed the Word of God. Look, it's a sad thing when people get saved and never grow. Sad thing. Get born again, but never grow. Never grow. When you bring a child home from the hospital, from that birth, Here they are. You're sticking the bottle in their mouth. They're being fed, okay? And when they get old enough too, you're grabbing that nasty looking stuff out of them little bottles and you're spooning it in their mouth, and they push it back out and you wipe it off and push it back in, and they push it back out and you wipe it off and push it back in, and finally the kid says, I guess I got to swallow this, all right? And so you feed them, all right? Why do you do that? You want them to grow. We take them to the doctor. I remember taking ours to the doctor, Lance being the first one. And I'd never paid any attention before, you know. And they would say, well, they're in this percentile. And I thought, huh? You know, well, you know, their length or their height, their weight is in, you know, the 85th percentile. Or, you know, and I'm thought, well, 85 is passing. Well, that's all right, you know. And, you know, they give you all that statistics, and you like to hear that. You don't want them to come and say 2%. You don't want that. You want a bigger number, all right? You want to know there's growth, there's development. And you see that, hey, listen, in a child of God spiritually, that comes about if we're fed on the Word of God. We're fed on the Word of God. We come to church. Why? We want to be fed. We want to be fed. We come to church for fellowship. For fellowship. What a joy it is to get together with other people, God's people, to shake hands with them, to say, how you doing? Good to see you. It's encouraging. It's encouraging. There's encouragement that comes because we've gathered together with other like-minded people that have been born again. Here we are. We sing together. Good thing about it, you don't have to be a good singer. You don't have to be a good singer. It's amazing how good it sounds when everybody just pitches in and sings. All that, even this discordant, I don't know, but God has a way of making it just sound pretty good, all right? Now, if you stood in front of any one person, you might go, oh my. But if you hear the whole thing, it's amazing. It's amazing how God can blend it together. Hey, we come to fellowship. We come to fellowship. There's just something about the moral support and the knowledge that, hey, somebody else is here. And to know, hey, there's somebody praying for me. There's somebody concerned about me. There's somebody that's going to take my name to the Lord in prayer. Hey, that's a blessing, folks. We come, we gather together for that. We feed on the Word of God. We have fellowship for encouragement, for exhortation. It encourages us. There's somebody that can pat us on the back or wrap their arm around us and say, you can make it. Amen. You can make it. Hey, that's a good thing. They came. They came. I want you to see the second thing. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. Notice it says, these all continued. They continued. The Bible said they all continued. They kept it up. They kept it up. Folks weren't laying out, falling out, giving out, or giving up, all right? They continued. They continued. I dare say, there's some of you this morning, you had problems getting here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you said, I had problems just getting out of bed, you know? We do. And I don't mean necessarily physically. The bed has a hold on you. I know it's true because a lot of you didn't make it for Sunday school. I won't dwell there, all right? We'll move on, all right? I just know it's hard. It's hard to get out of that bed. The alarm went off. My wife sets an alarm. I never set an alarm. She sets the alarm. It went off. I did not go, whoopee, and jump out of the bed and say, glory to God, it's Sunday morning. Woohoo! I looked at the clock and said, oh, man. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to get out of that bed. I lay there till it went off again. Went off again. I thought, well, I am the pastor. I better get up. I better get out of the bed. I got out of the bed, all right? I got out of the bed. Brother Blanton, I know you're back there wondering what's going on. Now this microphone will work, all right? It just occurred to me, I muted it a while ago. And now it will work. We've been running off of that. So if you're back there, you weren't able to hear me. Hopefully you can hear me now, all right? Hey, they continued. They stayed with it. They didn't fall out. They didn't give up. They continued. You know, I sometimes feel like there's people that are just looking for an excuse to quit going to church. Or they're just looking for an excuse to justify, I ain't going this Sunday. You know, I don't understand that. We just look for that. Now, I will confess to you, when I was a kid, I was happily looking for an excuse not to have to go to school. But, the house of God, why would I want to skip getting together with the best people in the world? Why would I miss that? Why would I want to miss reading and hearing from the greatest book that's ever been written? Amen. Why would I want to miss those kind of things? I don't want to miss those kind of things. But boy, there's some people that just, that continuing. Look, the only thing that stands between a church and success oftentimes is just as simple as continue. Keep at it. Keep at it. Just keep coming. Well, preacher, I really didn't feel like coming today. Well, come anyway. Now, I don't mean sickness. I don't mean sickness. But I mean, I just didn't feel okay. But come anyway. Keep coming. Keep coming. Hey, keep praying. Keep praying. I've had people tell me, "Said preacher, I pray and it just seems like it doesn't get past the ceiling." So what do you say to that? I say, keep praying. Amen. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Hey, keep reading. Keep reading your Bible. Well, I read it and I didn't get anything out of it. After all, I was reading those first five chapters of First Chronicles. Keep reading.
Amen.
Keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep giving. Keep giving. Keep telling. Just keep telling people. Hey, keep doing all that you know you're commanded to do. Just stay after it. They continued. But I want to tell you in verse 14, there's another thing there that's mind-boggling. Look at verse 14. The Bible said these all continued. Here it is. With one accord. Oh, my soul, these people cooperated.
Amen.
They cooperated with one accord. Hey, that has nothing to do with the car they drove. You do understand that, right? No, man, there was cooperation. There wasn't backbiting, bickering, or belly aching. They continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. They were together. There was cooperation. That is a mind-boggling thing. Because, man, you hear so many times about churches where people get together and they talk about each other and there's fussing and feuding and there's friction and there's butting heads. It ought not to be that way. You say, preacher, what if there is? Then you ought to meet at right this spot right here and get right with God. And the one you can't get along with, you ought to grab them by the arm and bring them down and say, I'm going to make it right with you and I'm going to make it right with God. That's the way it ought to be done. Why? Because there ought to be cooperation. These people, I believe, love one another. They realized the work that God had given them to do as a church was more important than any little differences they might have had in personality. The truth of the matter is here, if we were to ask where your loyalties lay when it comes to football teams, it would be across the board. Some people would say, I don't give a flip fart. Don't watch them. Don't plan to watch them. Don't like it. But there's others that are rabid fans. And you know, you say, I'm not going to miss the game. I'm not going to miss the team. And that's the team I'm going to root for. And people will get upset about those guys. Hey, we're just different people. There's some of you that have different loyalties to the vehicle you drive. I've heard people make the statement, and I've heard this make statement, I'd rather push a Chevy than drive a Ford. Go ahead and push, buddy. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I want one that works. I want one that when I go out there and turn the key on, nowadays I got one you don't turn the key on, you just punch the button, you know. But I want to hear that thing crank up, and if it does, I'm happy.
Amen.
Driving down the road, but there's people in here, boy. I had a preacher friend. I bought a Ford pickup truck, and he saw me come in, was at a fellowship meeting, and he was giving me a hard time. Why don't you get a Chevy? I said, you find one I can afford. You know, I'm married to that blonde-headed gal back yonder. I'm not married to some stinking vehicle. It's just not going to happen. But boy, there's differences. And people will bicker and fight about those things. And somebody will, man, people, they even bicker and fight about, they had on the same dress I had on. And that's a bone of contention? To me, I would look at that person and say, obviously, you have good taste. If I were a lady and somebody had on the same dress, you know, I'd say, you obviously have good taste. I went, man, what? But we find things to bicker and go at it. Hey, we think, well, when I walked up, they quit talking. That proves they were talking about me. No, it doesn't. Doesn't at all. Hey, but we let those little things. Hey, it was more important than perceived slights. It was more important who got to lead in prayer or who got to sing a special. Can I just say this to you? Those things are not the things to worry about. The thing to worry about is, hey, am I continuing? Are we in one accord? Can we get along together, okay? Can we get along together? Can we get the work of God together? Can we do what needs to be done? Can we do that? Is that doable? Not if we're bickering and fighting and fussing. Not speaking. I sit over here on this side of the building because I'm not speaking to so-and-so who sits on that side of the building. In God's dear name, why would that be so big? It ought to never be like that. Hey, that which is to unite us is the doctrine that we hold to. This is what is to unite us. It doesn't matter who your favorite ball team is. Doesn't matter. Hey, if you want to be an Aggies fan, go ahead. I'll pray for you. If you want to be a Sooner fan, I don't know, we might revoke your membership. I don't care. None of those things matter. But boy, what matters is what this book says. This unites us. It's the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Scripture. It doesn't change, and we're to believe it together. 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 I'm commanded to love you. I'm commanded to love you. Now, I'll be honest with you. You're commanded to love me. Sometimes you will have to love me in spite of me. And sometimes I will have to love you in spite of you. But we can do it. We can cooperate. But would you look again in verse 14? Would you look again? It said they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. All right. Notice they communed. They communed with God. Prayer and supplication. They prayed. Oh, how necessary it is for prayer and supplication to be offered up to our Lord. I've heard it said, John R. Rice said, our failures are prayer failures. I'm sure that's true in many, many instances. Oftentimes, we just fail to pray. We fail to pray. You know, I stand here and I read to you, pray for these people. Pray. These people are going through some difficulties. Maybe there's sickness. Maybe there's death. There's trouble. There's problems. Pray for them. But you know, the Bible says pray one for another. We're to pray. We're to be praying people. We're to know what it is to pray for one another. We're to offer up our prayers. We're to commune with our Lord. We're to be in touch with Him. Hebrews says we can come boldly under the throne of grace and we can find mercy to help in time of need. Mercy. Well, just come. Just come. I don't know about you, but I like to get the help before there's the need. How about you? I like to get the help before there's the need. I want to know, hey, something's going to help this situation. I like preventative stuff. Most of you know I'm standing here waiting until August the 30th for surgery for kidney stones. And you say, well, is there anything you can do to prevent it? I don't know. Haven't found anything yet. I sure would like to find something. But I've been recommended something and I'm trying it, you know. You say, I don't know if it's working or not. I have no idea. No idea. I'm taking medicine that was prescribed to me in 2006. He said, is it working? I don't know. I haven't dropped dead yet. I have no idea, though, if it's working or not. But hopefully, we're trying to prevent it. Hey, we pray. We pray and ask for God's help. I don't know about you, but I like to pray God will prevent the problem rather than help me get over the problem. We're to pray about everything. Everything. There's nothing off limits. We're to pray for wisdom. We're to pray for direction in life. We're to pray for help. We ought to do it. We ought to pray for power. I believe they did that in this church. They prayed for that. They prayed one for another. They commune with God. Hey, folks, I'll tell you, the church that works is the one that communes with God. They spend some time. Then I want you to notice, basically the rest of this chapter is they're talking about the choosing of Matthias. Okay? They got together. They did some choosing. This church felt that it was necessary to replace Judas, the one who had betrayed Jesus Christ. And that's what's going on there. That's what Peter's talking about when he stood up in verse 15 and began to talk to him. He said, look, well, you know, there was one numbered with us, and now he betrayed the Lord, and he, you know, he died, and so we need to replace him. And they said they were going to vote to do it, all right? I just want you to know it's scriptural for a church to get together sometime and make decisions. It is a scriptural thing to do. A local church votes to choose its leaders. They were voting to choose one to lead among them. That's what they were doing. Now, I want you to notice it wasn't a popularity contest. It wasn't a popularity contest. All right? Look in verse 21. Here's one of the requirements. He said, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus Christ went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. He said, this fellow has got to be, he's got to be one who has been faithful. He's been around. He stayed with us. He stuck it out. He was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were some requirements there laid down. Hey, can I say this to you? If the day comes where we vote, you vote for another pastor. You say, preacher, you're leaving. No, I'm not preparing you for my departure. But I could drop dead, okay? And I understand that. But when that day comes, if and when it comes, You need to be sure the vote is not a popularity contest. It doesn't need to be. We sure do like old Fred over there, wonderful guy, hale and hearty and a great greeter. No, you need to find one who's faithful, who knows what it is to stay with the stuff and serve God faithfully year after year, not a novice, the Bible says, and one that has been prayed over and been prayed about, okay? That's who it's supposed to be, all right? God's got requirements for those that would have any leadership position in a local church. Don't discount or disregard those requirements. Man, you can't do that. You have a disaster if you do it. Hey, but they were able to do what they did because they came together, all right? They came together. Right? They continued. They continued. They cooperated. They communed with God. They sought God in this choice. They sought God. But let me say this as the last point in the message this morning. They changed the world. They changed the world. This church at Jerusalem changed the world. And you and I trace ourselves to that church because of what they did. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. He had ascended back into heaven. He wasn't there anymore. But that group of people came together. First Baptist Church, Haltom City, any local New Testament church, people have to come. People have to come. They have to show up. All right? They have to show up. They can't just say, hey, preacher, I'm behind you. I'm praying for you. You got to show up. You got to come. And that coming, there ought to be some continuing, faithfully keeping it going, staying by the stuff. Good times and bad, staying with it. Hey, man, there's tough times that come. There's tough times. I look back at when my dad was pastor here, and I can remember times when if there was any expense came up, it meant a special offering. Anything. I mean, you said, what do you mean? I mean, if we had to buy bus tags, there was a special offering. And why? Because there was no money whatsoever in there wasn't enough to cover those things. Man, it took that. Hey, you got to take the good times and the bad times. You continue. You continue. Boy, and they cooperated. Oh, there's nothing like the sweet fellowship of God's people. There's just nothing like it. I've got a family. I've got an earthly family. There's Mosley family. And that extended group. All of them don't have the last name Mosley. My dad's sisters, and he had five sisters. And, of course, their kids' names are not Mosley's, and they're part of the family. And I love them, and I enjoy getting together with them. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather meet with this group right here. I'd rather meet with you. I'd rather be able to sit with you week after week than with them. Than with them. I love them. But boy, there's not that sweet spirit of cooperation like there is here when God's people get together and say, hey, we've got a work to do. We've got a work to do. We can't do, a church cannot do what it needs to do without cooperation. And usually that cooperation is better at being cooperative if there's that communing. We stay in touch with God. We pray. We seek Him. Can I tell you this? This church, all right, I want First Baptist Church, Haltom City, to work. I don't want it to be a failure. I don't believe you're a member here. You do either. You don't want it to be a failure. God's given us a great example that we can emulate in this church at Jerusalem. And he said, what do we need to do? We need to come. We need to continue. We need to cooperate. We need to commune with God in prayer. We need to make choices carefully and prayerfully, choose the right ones, and be careful of the ones that God would give us. Then we can change our part of the world. Got a question. I'm done. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? You said, well, preacher, what is my part? Well, one, to come. You got to come. Need to continue. Hey, just decide. I'm going to be faithful. If you were to ask me what I'm planning to do on Sunday 6 months from now, I'm planning to be right here. That's my plans. Now, I love to fish. I told you I haven't fished in 2 years. Why? I didn't plan to go. I'm in the house of God because I plan to be here. I plan to be here. You just need to make it. I'm going to come. I'm going to continue. I'm going to cooperate. You know, that's just cooperating with one another. Commune. I'm going to commune with God. I'm going to seek God's will. I'm going to seek His will. And you know what? If you do that, you'll make the right choice. Are you doing your part? Hey, let me ask you this. Haven't preached on it. Haven't said anything about it. But I want to ask you, if you were to die right now, where would you go? Simple question. Now, if your answer is, I think, then you got a problem. If your answer is, I hope, then you got a problem. But hey, I'll tell you, you can know you're going to heaven. You can know you're going to heaven. And the Bible says you can know it. I've had people say, I don't think you can know it. Well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible says you can know it. I can point it to you in the Scripture. You can know. You don't have to think so, hope so, maybe so. It can be a done deal for sure. But you need to be born again. If you've never been born again this morning, I invite you, in just a moment, the pianist is going to come, the organist is going to come, the song leader is going to come. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing the invitation hymn. If you've never been born again, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. What you need to do is we begin to sing the song. You need to step out, meet me right here at the front. And just say, preacher, I want to trust Christ today. I'll have somebody take a Bible, show you exactly what the Bible says so you thoroughly understand it. But don't leave here without Christ. Please, don't leave here without Christ. Hey, Christian, don't leave here without making the right choice about what you're going to do when it comes to the church. Don't leave here. Get it settled. Get it settled today. We can change our world. We do what we should. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning. I plead with you to speak to hearts today.